And welcome. It's Friday, February 11th, 2011, and this is a special extended edition of Word of Mouth here on CKLN FM 88.1. My name is Stephanie Gouda, and I will be your host for most of the next hour. I have been here over the years in my capacity as the host of OCAP Radio, which has shared this Friday night slot with Word of Mouth News. I'll be handing it off later on to Don Weitz and Anti-Psych Radio, as well as Susie Alvarez, a longtime co-host of Word of Mouth News. Also in the studio with us tonight are regular contributors to Friday Word of Mouth, Kristen Schwartz, Jackie Tunistra Harrison, Don Weitz, Mark Brill, and our newest contributor, Sheetal Lodia. On the show tonight, we're going to feature a whole variety of voices. We're going to be talking to people who have contributed to CKLN News and this time slot in particular over the years. I'm sure you're all aware that CKLN is having quite a struggle at the moment to stay on air, and so this special programming is part of the struggle to keep community radio live here in Toronto and to save the frequency for voices that you don't usually hear from. We'll be hearing not only about what CKLN has meant to people, but also about the news of the day. Our guests tonight include Shelley Robinson, Executive Director of National Campus Community Radio Association, Mustafa Hanawe, an Egyptian-Canadian activist out of Montreal, John Clark, organizer with the Ontario Coalition Against Poverty, and many more. But off the top, I would like to welcome our first interview, which is with Lauren Spears. Lauren is the host of Rebel Radio here on CKLN 88.1 FM on Monday afternoon, and she is also head of CKLN's legal team, which is playing a crucial role at the moment in the struggle to keep community radio going here out of Ryerson campus. Lauren, are you there?
I'm here. Thank you. That's quite the introduction.
Well, welcome to Friday Word of Mouth, and I'll get right to the chase. What's the legal position right now? What's going on?
Well, CKLN has been granted a stay today by Madam Justice Layden Stevenson in Ottawa, which means that at least until the next stage in the court proceedings, we can stay on air. Earlier, the Commission's decision indicated that we would need to cease broadcasting tomorrow night at 11:59, and now we don't have to do that. The FM feed can live.
Well, that's quite the news. So to all our listeners who are maybe thinking you might be listening to the last Word of Mouth here on Friday evenings, Lauren's just told us that we're staying on and all the other programming here at CKLN is staying on air for the time being. So what does that mean? What lies ahead for our listeners and for the programmers?
Well, technically, from a legal position, There's two steps before the courts that lie ahead, one being asking the court for leave to appeal, and should that be granted, making the appeal itself. So we've already submitted some of our documents to the court for consideration, given that we've asked for the emergency stay. So that part of the decision was made today to give us a stay. But the next stage is us living in hope that the COTC will give us permission to appeal. That stage is going to happen. All of the documents have to be in by April 1st. So whenever they let us know about the date, in probably sometime in April, they'll let us know when the date is going to be, which could be in April or May. Then for sure we'll be telling everybody.
So just to be clear for our listeners, what that means is you will be continuing to get the programming that you get from us for the next month and a half or so, and then there's a next stage of the court process, and we'll go from there. But I also want to ask you just to let people know, what can listeners do to support the legal strategy to keep the license? What can people do?
Well, what listeners can do is, if they haven't already, sign our petition, which is linked from our website. If they haven't already, they can write everybody in the government they can think of. Most importantly is the MPs, right? Because there are federal members of Parliament, and the CRTC is a federal governing body. They can also write the CRTC through their questions and complaints page, and make a complaint about having taken us off air. But we're asking people to do that respectfully and meaningfully. So if you can tell them, even in just one short descriptive sentence what CKLN has meant to you as a listener or as a community member or anyone who's felt benefited by CKLN. That's the biggest thing you can do for us, is write those letters and send them to your MPs, your MPPs. We've got great support from the community already, so thank you so much. I know that you guys played a big part in that, and it's quite wonderful. You know, CKLN's had such a hard time, but in light of the hardest time, it's pretty amazing to see the whole team trying to pull together and the community support. So, but we need it to keep going. That's the whole thing. We need to be able to go in front of the courts in the spring or the summer and say, well, since the decision was made and since you gave us a stay, this is what we've done. You know, we pulled up our socks with all of the compliance issues, and we have overwhelming public support. And public support goes a really long way.
Okay, well, thank you, Lauren, for speaking with us and giving us the great news. Congratulations on the stay, and we'll obviously be keeping in touch of all the details of this situation. Thanks so much.
And I'm going to keep listening to Friday Night Words of Mouth.
Amazing. Thanks, all right, Lauren.
Thanks a lot. Bye-bye.
That was Lauren Spears, host of Rebel Radio here on CKLN on Monday afternoons, and she's also head of CKLN's legal team. She just gave us the news that, at least for the time being, CKLN will be staying on air. So keep in touch, keep the letters coming right to the CRTC, get in touch with your MPs, pressure the federal government, and just keep up the energy. So we're going to take a short musical break here on Friday Night Word of Mouth, and when we come back from that break, in the studio here is going to be Jackie, who's a former news coordinator at CHRY, and she's also the coordinator of the amazing project Groundwire Community Radio News, which is a national news program produced every 2 weeks by community news reporters across Canada. It's really solid programming. Jackie's going to be sitting in the booth here doing an interview with Shelley Robinson of the National Campus Community Radio Association, and I'll let her tell you more about that. Keep listening. This is Friday Night Word of Mouth on CKLN 88.1 FM.
Be able to stay home, brother. You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials, because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox in four parts without commercial interruptions. The revolution will not show you pictures of Nixon blowing a bugle and leading a charge by John Mitchell, General Abrams, and Spiro Agnew to eat hog maws confiscated from a Harlem sanctuary. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by the Schaefer Award Theater and will not star Natalie Woods and Steve McQueen or Bullwinkle and Julia. The revolution will not give your mouth sex appeal. The revolution will not get rid of the nub. The revolution will not make you look 5 pounds thinner, because the revolution will not be televised, brother. There will be no pictures of you and Willie Mae pushing that shopping cart down the block on the dead run, or trying to slide that color TV into a stolen ambulance. NBC will not be able to predict the winner at 8:32 on Report from 29 District. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of Whitney Young being run out of Harlem on a rail with a brand new process. There will be no slow motion or still life of Roy Wilkins strolling through Watts in a red, black, and green liberation jumpsuit that he has been saving for just the proper occasion. Green Acres, Beverly Hillbillies, and Hooterville Junction will no longer be so damn relevant, and women will not care if Dick finally got down with...
Welcome back. 88.1 FM, CKLN, still broadcasting, still on air, celebrating that this fine evening. My name is Jackie Townster-Harrison. Welcome, welcome, welcome to the program. The music you just heard is a favorite of mine. I have it on vinyl at home. Revolution Will Not Be Televised by Gil Scott-Heron. And also joining us this evening on 88.1 FM, still proudly broadcasting, is Shelley Robinson, the Executive Director of the National Community Radio Association. Welcome to the show, Shelley.
Thanks, Jackie. Nice to be here.
Great. So we've just been talking a little bit about community radio and a lot of exciting things, of course, happening in the world today that we're going to get to later. But I thought I would ask you, from the NCRA's perspective, how did you guys react Oh, a few days ago, I guess it's been over a week now, when the CRTC decision came out to revoke the license of 88.1 in Toronto.
I would say that, like a lot of people, we were really shocked. We had been at the hearing, and we thought CKLN did a great job of outlining everything they've done to come back into compliance. And it's been an amazing amount of work. I'm sure your listeners know, but I mean, the things that got back into place were just, you know, retraining 170 volunteers, bringing folks back, getting new volunteers, implementing new policies. So given all of that work, we were really shocked that they should just kind of jump over the intermediary steps they had and just revoke the license. Especially also at the hearing, CKLN did a particularly good job of showing the strength of its volunteers and the diversity of its programming. And I mean, I found the hearing quite inspiring in parts because people got up and spoke of their experience with the station. So to suddenly have the commission take that all away, or at least attempt to, you know, it was shocking.
So what other steps were you maybe expecting? Things like perhaps fining or suspension of the license?
Sure. So the step that we most anticipated they would take is mandatory orders. And that's something that they make the station answerable to a higher court, so an actual court of law, in terms of if it's non-compliant. So instead of just becoming a regulatory matter, it becomes a matter of law. They also could have suspended the license temporarily. So if they really thought the station was in dire trouble and not in compliance, they could have said, okay, we're going to take away your license for, 3 months? And then, you know, if you prove to us that you have all your steps in place, we'll let you go back on air. That still would have been quite drastic. I would have been shocked. But nonetheless, it would have been better than outright losing the license. So, like I said, yeah, we expected, in similar cases, in fact, Commissioner Louise Poirier wrote a dissent to the decision where she disagreed with the decision that the rest of the commission made, the rest of the panel. It wasn't the whole commission that was there. And she said that she's done some research, and as far as she could tell, this is the first time ever in Canadian broadcasting history that they didn't either shorten the license term, which wasn't an option in this circumstance, or issue mandatory orders, but jumped over that to go straight to revoking the license.
So the only other step that was open to CKLN was to appeal the decision so that we could broadcast beyond the February 12th deadline. Mm-hmm. So that's happened. Mm-hmm. What else can organizations like the NCRA do to support CKLN?
It's a good question. There is a petition that people have been signing. Last time I looked, it was over 4,500 signatures. I'm sure it's topped 5,000 now.
Yes, yeah.
So I would suggest that people sign the petition. I would suggest that people get in touch with the station and ask them how they can help the station, because, I mean, there's a couple things here. One is about, you know, the station is going through the legal processes of trying to get a stay and appeal, but additionally, the station needs financial support, it needs moral support, it needs listeners, it needs folks to acknowledge how important the station is. I would say that there's just a range of things. Call in, listen, talk about it, write letters to newspapers, write letters to the CRTC, write letters to your MP, all of those things.
And my last question, unfortunately we don't have more time, but it would be great to hear more about what the NCRA is able to do in terms of lobbying for the CRTC. But what are the biggest challenges that you see for campus and community radio generally in Canada? Because we know CKLN shares some of these challenges with other stations. We're not the only station to have, you know, ups and downs.
No. I think that the idea that a community-based station that has this mandate of being open to everyone and providing training, but, I mean, we're talking, in the case of CKLN and many other stations, more than 150 volunteers and who are playing all different kinds of music, all different kinds of programming. So you can't expect 100% all the time perfection. I think that that's – so what we need to do is educate the commission that, you know, that this is good, responsible broadcasting, but nonetheless that there are going to be mistakes. But the point is that CKLN and other stations are accountable for those mistakes, and they will take responsibility and make sure that those mistakes don't happen, or they put in good processes to try and keep them to a low level. But to expect 100% perfection from these stations, it's not possible. There will occasionally be drops of dead air. There will occasionally be songs with profanity played at, you know, inappropriate times of day. There will be slip-ups. These things happen. but the value of what CKLN and stations like it provide to their community so much outweighs those things. And for the most part, they are doing a fantastic job. So let's underscore and help them improve and get as close to 100% as they can, but let's also not hold them to an unrealistic standard. We have to acknowledge that these are really necessary broadcasters, and so we need a little bit of flexibility if we're going to, you know, allow them to thrive.
Shelley, thanks so much for joining us at the end of the day and at the end of your week, all the way from Ottawa. That's Shelley Robinson, Executive Director of the NCRA. If you guys want to learn more, Shelley, what's the website?
Our website is www.ncra.ca.
I'm going to throw it back to Steph in the studio here on 88.1 FM. Thanks again, Shelley.
Thanks, Jackie.
Thank you so much. And now we're going to flip it over to an interview that was done earlier yesterday this week with a former programmer who is very special to a lot of us. Wendy Nzinga Maxwell was a crucial part of CKLN for many years until the year 2005 when she was deported from Canada. She was actually arrested here on this campus on International Women's Day while selling cookies to raise money for the station. She has been an inspiration to many of us and really highlights the importance of community radio and the voices that get brought out by it. So I'm going to let you listen now to an interview done by Kristen Schwartz with Nzinga, who is now in San Jose, Costa Rica.
You know what I miss about Toronto? Falafel. I miss Kensington Market with a big heart. My friends, which were basically my family for all those years, and also CKLN, all the freedom, the power, because having a place where you can talk and put your two cents out is having power. You know, you have the power to communicate. You have the power to affect people's views. You know, so that power, I miss it. I miss that. I guess I miss political work a little bit. But I wouldn't trade it for my spirituality.
Let's talk about CKLN for a moment. Are there any stories that you remember from your time at the station? Any favorite moments that you'd like to share once again?
Let me see. Favorite moments. There are many. There are many fulfilling moments. A rewarding story was I was at Kensington Market with a girlfriend of mine eating pupusas, and we're talking about the invisibilization of African peoples in our world, basically in Latin America mostly. And I was saying, yeah, for instance, you know, I see every Chilean tells me there's no black people in Chile, and it's as stupid as saying that this. I mean, how can you say there's no black people in a Latin American country? You know, the only for exception of Salvador, but every Latin American country has black people, and she's like, yeah, well, I don't know, you know. And there's a Chilean guy sitting next to us. We say, but there's no black people in my country. I promise you, I've never seen a black person in my country. I'm telling you. I was like, okay. So, there Queen Nzinga starts an investigation and sets off to the task of finding a black person in Chile. All Chileans say there's no black people in Chile, but I found black people in Chile. I found an organization called Oro Negro, Black Gold, and that actually promotes the rights of African peoples in Chile. And I found out that it wasn't until the year 2001 that the Chilean government admitted to the United Nations that they had a black population. After a lot of denounces of invisibilization, of course. So The interview that we did with the director of Oro Negro opened up the eyes of a lot of Chilean people in Toronto that came up to us later and said, I really never knew that there were black people in my country. And that was a really nice moment. I like that. I think about that a lot.
That's a pretty unique...
As I said, having the power to be able to affect people's minds is one thing that I miss a lot.
So do you have any thoughts or anything you'd like to say to the people listening right now?
Of course, yes. Well, Toronto is a wonderful city. It's a village. It's not a big city, it's a village, because people care for each other, and that care for each other is a place where we got to care for each other a lot. Is CKLN hearing thing was is CKLN, and I think we as a community need to get together and try to keep it alive as much as we can. Fight as much as we can and keep it alive, you know, because we can't let it loose. We can't let it get, you know, get to waste like this, you know, for people's actions.
And that was an interview conducted by Kirsten Schwartz of Friday Night Word of Mouth with Wendy Nzinga Maxwell, who is now living in Costa Rica. It was great to hear her voice, really meaningful. So you're listening to Friday Night Word of Mouth here on CKLN 88.1. If you're just tuning in, the big news at the station is that a stay has been granted around the CRTC decision to yank us from the air. So we will be coming to you every day, all night, for at least the next month or so. And then there's another court hurdle that has to be overcome. And so we are asking people to continue to do the amazing things you've been doing so far, signing petitions, writing to the CRTC, sending letters to your MPs. You can never do too much of that. And the community support for the radio station is what matters. The powers that be need to hear that this is important to our listeners and that you want to keep hearing from CKLN here on this frequency. So I think we're going to take a little musical break, and when we come back, it is going to be my great honor and privilege to have a conversation with a former co-host of mine here on this program about the amazing People's Revolution in Egypt. Stay tuned.
Land of dreams. Come and pay, free, free, free. Raise your families. Promises, promises. Promises, promises. Drive your taxis. Work your jobs. No protection. Money is gas. Promises, promises. Promises, promises. Hold back to where you belong. But tell me where could that be? If this is where I was born. Go back to where you belong. But tell me where could that be? If this is where I am from. Seven days, six nights, sending money back home. Make sure family's alright. They said, go over there where your future is bright. But our puppet government sold us for the right price. Now I'm left to live where it's not my first language. Do what you're told. Understand you speak English. And if you cause trouble, then you'll be deported. And better yet, they'll call you a terrorist. Land of chains, built by slaves. Red blood stains. promises, all the money's made. Promises, 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 promises. Have your babies, I dig hearts. No protection unless your bank grows large. Promises, 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 promises.
And you're listening to CKLN 88.1 FM. I'm Stephanie Gouda. I am hosting this special edition of Friday Night Word of Mouth. And the big news, if you've just tuned in, is that we're staying on the air. So stay tuned for more details around that. So we've got a couple of really exciting interviews coming up, both with activists on the ground and at the front lines of very important struggles. I do want to take a minute to acknowledge that today is the day that the Egyptian people, after 18 days of unprecedented street protests, overthrew their dictator. What it's been come to known as is the 30 seconds that ended 30 years. Mubarak gave an address today saying that he would be stepping down from power, and the street scenes in Cairo and Alexandria and all across the country of Egypt are just profound. So please look for some of that footage if you haven't been glued to your computer or television all day. So we are going to get to talking about the Egyptian revolution in a little bit, but before we do that, it is my great pleasure to be able to speak to a person who's been a frequent contributor here to Friday Night Word of Mouth, because, of course, half of the show historically has been OCAP Radio, OCAP being the Ontario Coalition Against Poverty, of course. And joining me on the phone is longtime organizer and founder of the organization, John Clark. John, are you there?
Yeah, I am there.
Well, welcome once again to Friday Night Word of Mouth, and as you may have heard, we are staying on the air for a little while. So
I just heard, yeah.
That's good news. I want to ask you specifically, yesterday OCAP was in the news again, an incredible action that really moved me, unable to attend, as very sort of historic and traditional rumble feeling type action, shutting down the budget committee hearings at City Hall. Why did OCAP go to City Hall yesterday? Just give us a sketch.
Well, essentially you've now got a situation where Rob Ford and the new administration are preparing this year some very, very nasty and ugly cuts that are going to affect people, are going to affect homeless people, are going to affect refugees, are going to begin to affect transit routes, are going to impose user fees on people, and begin the process of imposing austerity on people here in this city through the municipal level of government. But what's also clear is that the cuts that are coming this year, because they had access to capital resources, is actually much less than what they're planning for next year. Ford has boasted that he intends to privatize garbage delivery. He intends to bring in a whole series of high-paid consultants who will plot a strategy in detail of dismantling the social infrastructure in the city. And he has about him a kind of a recklessness, I think, that serves the purpose of being a kind of an attack dog for the austerity agenda. So it's enormously dangerous, and for that reason, we wanted to begin the process of, as OCAP, taking up our fight and uniting with others who came with us and were very much central to the action, like No One Is Illegal, Dan, the Disabled Rights Organization, people from Jane Finch. There was this outpouring of people that came, but I think what it pointed to was that we're back in something that in some ways resembles the common sense revolution of Mike Harris, mm-hmm. and that we are going to have to mount a very, very serious resistance if we're going to stand any chance at all of defending things. And we wanted to issue that call. We wanted to say to people in unions that are affected by these cutbacks, we wanted to say to people in communities that are going to be under attack that what we're doing here today is important, but it's only a beginning. And so we wanted to make our contribution to building a common front of resistance.
And it wasn't by any means a reserved action, and it's my understanding that the committee did have to recess. What was the reaction on the floor in the committee room from councillors?
They were initially trying to do, even though they're even though they're not liberals, they were trying to do something that Pierre Trudeau became famous for, which was facing down the mob. But it didn't work particularly well. They didn't quite have that level of gumption, so they were quite quickly ferreted out. And immediately, when people went in, it was obvious that we weren't prepared to accept the norms of and protocols of how they do things, that we were going to demand to be heard and get literally right in their faces.
And it does seem to be already off the top, and, you know, this isn't a big surprise to some of us, but it might be to others, that the broken election campaign promise theme is already ringing through quite strongly, is it not?
Well, yeah, I mean, the point about Ford is that his base of support was in the elections, and by no means a majority of people in the city voted for him, but his base of support was based on two camps. One is the sort of the really upfront, ugly, reactionary type of people who genuinely support what he stands for. But then there were people who I think were taken in by his populism, by the notion that he was the little man standing up to privilege and going after the so-called gravy train, etc., etc. And what is obviously the case is that his definition of gravy is beds for homeless people to sleep in, and community programs for poor people to access, and transit routes that people desperately need. He's not going to attack privilege at all. He's going to launch a war on the poor and a war on public services and the workers that deliver it. And so, yes, I mean, his whole populism is a sham and a political lie, and it's beginning to become clear to people, and it'll become more clear very quickly.
Well, and that's part of the challenge that OCAP is rising to, which is sort of stripping the veneer off that working man, blue-collar populism that he sort of tried to promote himself as being a symbol of, I think. Can just quickly before we go, can you let us know what happened to the two people who were arrested at the action yesterday?
They went up in bail court today, and the Crown agreed to their release, with conditions that, as these things go, were not really that restrictive and quite good. I had to leave, and they still weren't out because, really, a quirk of fate, but there's been a bomb scare at the place, which had slowed down the process of getting people out. But I do understand they're out now.
Well, that's good news. Thank you, John, for taking the time to join us here.
Thanks so much, Steph.
That was John Clark, organizer with the Ontario Coalition Against Poverty, highlighting important struggle here in our city against a regressive mayor and the ensuing attack on particularly poor people living throughout the city. And Friday Night Word of Mouth has been very proud and instrumental in our ability to bring voices from that community to you each Friday night, and we will continue to do so for the time being, it sounds like. You're listening to CKLN on 88.1 FM. We're going to take a musical break and be back with more.
Educated, best equipped, best prepared, troops refuse to fight. Matter of fact, it's safe to say that they would rather switch than fight.
From the heart, it's a start, a work of art to revolutionize, make a change.
And you're listening to CKLN 88.1 FM. That was Fight the Power, Public Enemy. And I forgot to mention earlier, actually, that we listened to a track from an amazing local artist called Lal. The track was called Where We Belong. You are listening to Friday Night Word of Mouth. This is your host, Stephanie Gouda. We are doing special programming this evening in honor of the struggle that's been going on to keep the station on the air, which, if you're just tuning in, is going to stay on the air. We got an emergency stay today, so that means that we will be continuing to bring you programming for the next while, and it also means that you have to stay in touch with us and keep finding out how you can support, because it really is hearing from you that matters. That's who the CRTC needs to hear from, because we need to make it clear that this station is unique and bringing things to a Toronto audience that nobody else can. I'm just going to highlight the fact that, as I was saying earlier, this is a momentous day in the struggles of people the world here over. In Egypt today, the power of the people reigned victorious, and I wanted to just point out that if you are excited about this news and you're in the neighborhood, there is actually a demonstration celebration happening right now in Dundas Square until 9 o'clock. It's being called a victory rally, and it's happening as millions of Egyptians celebrate their revolution and the resignation of Hosni Mubarak, dictator for the past 30 years. These victory celebrations are being planned all over the world, including here in Toronto. So please join these celebrations either right now, Friday evening in Dundas Square, or tomorrow, Saturday, February 12th. There will be a victory demonstration again in Dundas Square. So it is a chance to show your support for the Egyptian revolution and to pay tribute to all the martyrs who gave their lives in the struggle for freedom and democracy in Egypt. It is a chance to show that we will remember and honor their sacrifice. So, as I said before, I have the great pleasure of having on the telephone with me a former co-host of mine, Egyptian-Canadian activist who now works with the Immigrant Workers Center in Montreal. Very tragic for all of us here in Toronto, because we miss him a lot. He continues to write and produce radio as a community-based journalist when he has time. And I am talking to him as he's just coming out of a victory celebration in Egypt. And Mustafa, I have to say, mabruk to you. Congratulations to you, my friend. It's great to hear from you.
Alf mabruk to you too, Steph. I mean, alf mabruk to everybody. This is really, I mean, a revolution not just for Egypt, but this is, I mean, the second victory against this onslaught of the economic crisis, really, in a way, and U.S. hegemony in the region. So, I mean, it's everybody's victory.
But it's stupendous. It was 18 days on the ground, unprecedented sizes of crowds, people refusing to give up despite live fire and tanks and unprecedented violence in the face of 30 years of unprecedented violence. So you can also just take a moment to acknowledge the central role of your community all around the world. So I just wanted to point that out. What's the feeling in Montreal? Go ahead.
I mean, really, it's euphoric. I mean, there's no way else to describe it. I mean, no one else expected that this would actually happen, particularly after last night, after Mubarak's speech last night. No one had expected, really, this victory today. No one expected it would happen so quick, and people were expecting it to sort of descend and be a critical moment, but no one expected this. And so the mood is really euphoric, as if people have just come alive today.
Can you
And as the chant says, like, today is kind of like our Eid. It's like a celebration. So people, that's what people have been doing today in Montreal, is literally just dancing and celebrating and handing out, food and candy and just really taking a moment to celebrate their freedom that people have been fighting for 30 years.
It's amazing, and I feel like one of the most profound things about what's happened on the ground in Egypt is also the kind of community mobilization that has spontaneously happened. Can you just give us a couple of examples of some of the things that happened where people self-organized, essentially, to keep each other safe and to stay on the streets? Just a couple of examples.
I mean, I think one example that it gets talked a lot about is sort of the popular committees to defend sort of the neighborhoods after the letting loose of sort of, state agents and thugs from the ruling party, the National Democratic Party, last week, is that lots of people came together to defend their neighborhoods and their communities in a way. You know, I had family members participate in that. And, you know, the level of pride and how instantly it came together was incredible. And people, you know, just facing down, you know, moments where people were, you know, they weren't necessarily thugs or thieves or looters because they had assault rifles and whatnot. And, you know, people were defending their neighborhoods with sticks, knives, and, you know, a couple of handguns against the state, but they did so bravely. And, you know, my uncle and so many others were so impressed with the younger people who were participating in that. And that moment happened so quickly. And also, I think how this began, right? I mean, it was clear that this happened over Facebook, but sort of even the coalition building that took place so instantly in Tahrir Square, you know, a coalition of the youth committees, really sort of shed the old opposition in this new form of self-organization. So the April 6th movement, the Khaled Said movement, the Muslim Brotherhood youth, the youth of the Day of Rage, and they all came together and formed essentially an organizing committee that really was able to push forward the revolution till its victory today. So that was another form of self-organization that hadn't been seen. I mean, most political parties and opposition movements have been banned under emergency law, so all of this is coming together for the first time in the last 30 years. I mean, the other example that's really incredible is just the organization within Tahrir Square itself, even to the point where you had non-smoking sections and you had Muslims defending Christians when they were praying, Christians defending Muslims when they were praying. I mean, so the examples, really, of self-organization are just limitless over these past 18 days.
There's so much that I would love to talk to you about, and there's so much to discuss, particularly in terms of, you know, the role of what you're describing as essentially a self-organized opposition movement and what that's going to mean for the transfer of power, because obviously our listeners are probably aware that, you know, this is the end of Mubarak, but it's not yet the end of his regime. And so there's a lot of cleanup work that still has to happen, although I do have to point out that the Swiss freezing the Mubarak family's assets is definitely a very satisfying development and also potentially unexpected. But I just want to ask you, Mustafa, what do you feel like people who are involved in struggle here on Turtle Island can take from the amazing strength and power of the Egyptian revolution, whether you answer that for yourself personally or as a longtime organizer? You know, how do you feel about that?
I mean, I think there's two things that could really be learned from. I mean, there's multiple things to be learned from what's taking place in Egypt, but really one thing is sort of this idea that, there has to be a level of resolve and strategic resolve to sort of to escalate and not back away and sort of in the face of that kind of repression, and that in that, hopefully your numbers will swell. And I think that's what happened in Egypt, right? When no one expected Tuesday the 25th, but when they were attempted to be crushed by the government, people said, no, 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 no.
Yeah.
We're going to come back in force. So I think that really has a lot to play into it. But also, the other thing that really needs to be learned from the revolution in Egypt is that as much of it was spontaneous, I was listening to an Al Jazeera interview with some of the April 6th youth movement, and they really took away lessons from other struggles and other revolutions about unity, about discipline, about and about being consistent. And I think those are things that we also have to learn in our struggles here, and that also the impossible is possible. That, you know, as much as we look at the objective conditions and we say a revolution's impossible here on Turtle Island, that, you know, there's a certain political malaise. People said that about Egypt, you know, 2 or 3 weeks ago.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, everybody became a revolutionary within those 2 weeks. People that I'd known had nothing to do with politics. All of a sudden, were radicals and revolutionaries. And, you know, as much as, you know, the conditions are different in terms of the level of poverty, the level of social suffocation, at the same time, I think for the most downtrodden and for those who truly face that repression here, those conditions aren't necessarily so different and so, I mean, they are unique, but at the same time, I think there are lessons for us to learn, and that it is possible. And I think we have to think about that being possible, and we have to be bold in what we're stating and what we want, and really be dynamic about that. And I think the Egyptian Revolution really showed that it was possible, and it was possible to win.
Absolutely.
To me, I have a level of optimism here. I just hopefully we can do the same thing to Harper. But I mean, that's a different case. But, and also I think the other thing too is that we have to learn new ways. We have to accept, I think, in our movements and our struggles, and maybe for some of us who've been around for quite some time, is that we have to be accepting of new ways and of new ways of organizing and of younger people and what they feel is important in terms of the organizing, because it is that spark. You know, on the January 25th, you had opposition to the demonstrations from the WAFT Party, the Liberal Democratic Party, from Tagamu, the Nasserist Party. You had the Brotherhood Stay Away. And really, it was just...
To enter a new destination number, press 1. To redial the last number dialed, press 2.
Oh, it seems like we've lost Mustafa. Very sadly, an abrupt end to a very satisfying and energetic interview. That was Mustafa Hanawe, a community organizer based out of Montreal, Egyptian-Canadian, who is celebrating tonight alongside the Egyptian people. I am now going to turn over the microphone first to Don Weitz, the longtime host of Anti-Psychiatry Radio, and he will be followed in the studio by Susie Alvarez, who will be hosting the remainder of Friday Night Word of Mouth. So keep listening. This is CKLN 88.1 FM. We will be back in a second with Anti-Psych Radio. Thanks for listening.
Okay, we're on, and this is a very special extended version. This is your proud anti-psychiatry host, Don Weitz, for a special edition of CKLN with lots of good support from people, and we're going to keep giving you good alternative community-based programming and critiques and exclusive interviews like tonight I have. Dr. Bonnie Burstow, I hope, is on the air. Are you there, Bonnie? Well, we'll get to her. I hope so. Bonnie, I just thought I'd mention, is one of the outstanding anti-psychiatry activists and academics in Toronto, based at OISE, and is chair of the Ontario Coalition Against Poverty. Bonnie.
Hello.
Welcome to a special edition of CKLN, and great to have you again on Anti-Psychiatry Radio. I hope you're doing okay.
I'm doing just fine.
Good.
Doing just fine, thanks.
So, Bonnie.
Yes.
Yes. Let me ask you, since we are very open to any kinds of support, especially now, while we're going through a bit of a crisis, but we are doing very, very well here. So tell me what CKLN, I know we've talked before, what does CKLN sort of mean to you, and why is it important why is CKLN important, in particular antipsychiatry, so important to you?
Well, those are separate questions, but to start with CKLN, CKLN is community radio.
Right.
And we have to understand that if we are trying to, for one thing, if we want alternative news sources, if we want something that's not mainstream, we have to have community radio. But we also have to have community radio if we want to hear from the voices of marginalized people, if we want to hear from the, if we want to build community. And to me, that's what CKLN represents. And you don't take something that represents something as important as that off the air, you know, for minor infringements.
Right. Well, of course, I totally agree with you. We do provide real alternative because you don't get our views on psychiatry and the mental health system on, as you know, the mainstream.
Absolutely not. Only on community radio.
That's right. Well, yes, go ahead.
And the same thing for many, many other marginalized issues, but obviously I have a particular passion around the anti-psychiatry part.
Yes. Well, you know, as you know, we're the only anti-psychiatry program, as far as I know, in Canada. And you and others help make it happen, I must admit, because we do value your strong support in speaking out. Now, tell me a bit about, in the few minutes we have, that what does, if you could just briefly talk a little bit about some of the common stereotypes and myths of the, quote, psychiatric patient.
I think, you know, the most common and damaging stereotype is that the mental, you know, that the, quote, mental patient, unquote, is, quote, dangerous. The dangerous mental patient. And besides that, you know, it's a myth that's well circulated, and the press use if somebody robs a bank and they happen to have the label schizophrenic, we will hear that schizophrenic robs bank, and the media and the public will see that written up, and they'll say, oh my God, dangerous schizophrenic. However, most of the people who rob banks don't have that label. If we instead had the story with the headline non-schizophrenic robs banks, then people would start being very afraid of those non-schizophrenics.
Yeah, right. And just to build on what you were saying, as you know, but for our listeners who don't know, well over 95%, according to a survey, of violence in North America, whether it's Canada or the U.S., 95% of the violence is committed by people who have never been in the psychiatric system. So I just thought I'd get that little statistic in.
Absolutely.
Now, just another thing that I'd like to touch on. Well, I wish we had more time, but we're sort of time limited here. Is what got you started a bit in anti-psychiatry, and why do you think it is so important to focus on anti-psychiatry?
Well, I would have to say initially what got me started in anti-psychiatry is a father who received hundreds of electroshock. That would do it. But beyond that, even from the time I was a kid, I could see what this institution was doing for people. And as I got older, I could also see how many people it got in its grasp.
Yes.
It didn't get them young. It most surely got most people old, because most of the elderly are on psychiatric drugs. To me, it's a very basic issue of what kind of community we want to live in, one which has an expanded tolerance, or one with so little tolerance we have to drug everyone up who doesn't quite fit in.
Yes, or I should say, as you know, electroshock the hell out of them.
Yes.
And I want to point out that and give you lots of respect for your great work, you know, in in standing up against. In fact, you're the only academic, as far as I'm concerned, and health professional in Canada that's repeatedly spoken out against this terror and this barbarism called electroshock. So I just wanted to let our listeners know that we are certainly, there's a lot of respect for what you and others are doing, you know, with the coalition, of which I might add, I am a proud member. So just in winding up about, I would say that if, what would you like to leave our listeners who with and our supporters?
I would like to leave the listeners with this thought. When people endanger your community radio, and that's what's going on here, make your voice heard.
Very good. And you are speaking out. Thank you very much, Bonnie. And that was just Dr. Bonnie Burstow, an outstanding feminist and also an anti-psychiatry activist for sure, author and lecturer. So we will have you on again, Bonnie, and the word will spread. CKLN is not going anywhere. We are staying, and we're going to continue to speak out for human rights of psychiatric survivor, and anti-psychiatry is not going to die, but is rising and rising. Thank you. And, friends, if you stay on the air, please don't touch that dial. This is Don Weitz, your proud anti-psychiatry host on 88.1 FM, Revolutionary Radio. You better believe it, the only one of its kind in Canada with an anti-psychiatry program. And we will take a break, I take it. Susie and Kristen are giving me lots of support with Mark, as usual. So we'll be right back in a minute with another interview with psychiatric survivor Arit Shimrat in Vancouver. Stay tuned.
With their feathers slick with oil, there ain't nowhere we can go but the 20 brand new barrooms that they built just for our pay. Yeah, we're dirty and ugly and hard to refine like the sands that we dig 3 hours from closing time, and I've not been one to gamble till the day I reach the floor. Pipelines run through my pockets, my desires they distort. There's a voice in my head telling me I should fall, but the ring around my finger is made of Lego. Sets the standard, long legs, clothes, and sheer black coats. She can charge 300 higher, and her business never slows. In her arms, we love the loving of our wives left out of sight. Cause us working men need working girls to work us through the night. There's a voice on the land I keep holding a hole. She says my spitting image is spitting up. He's getting old, he's getting old. And a voice in my head telling me I should fall, but the ring around my finger is made of bird. Go. Mm-hmm. It's two gallons burned for everyone that we earn. But smoke in the sky at Renee. You gotta play to win. I bid myself my next of kin. Oh, for all, the game is rigged. There's a voice in my head.
Okay, friends, I'm back. We're proud. Anti-psychiatry host on Whites. We are trying to get an interview on this special extended program at CKLN with a sister, very courageous sister, writer, author, Arete Shimrat, and as well as an anti-psychiatry activist in Vancouver. So we're going to keep trying. But in the meantime, I just want to say a few words about the struggles of anti-psychiatry that some of you may not know about. The Coalition Against Psychiatric Assault, which is most welcome here on CKLN, it is the only one of its kind in Canada, is a coalition of psychiatric survivors, critics of psychiatry, and graduate students at OISE and U of T, and other social justice activists who've come together to start speaking out and empowering themselves in protesting against the barbarism, against what I seriously call a human rights violation in psychiatry by psychiatrists for many years now. CAP has also had public hearings, I should add, and some of you may have been there at City Hall in 2005, speaking about the risks of many psychiatric drugs, which the mainstream media seems to be finally discovering, especially around antidepressants. And we had a public hearing as well in that same year, in April of 2005 at City Hall, against electroshock, where we had shock survivors speaking out. And CKLN has been the only station in Canada, that has been on side and supported certainly my views and the views of others who are edited out or ignored by mainstream radio when it comes to so-called safe and effective treatments. I always put quotes around safe and effective treatments in psychiatry because usually they're anything but, because they've caused a virtual epidemic of memory loss and brain damage, which is particularly the case with electroshock. And most of the victims of electroshock, as many of you know who've heard me talk on anti-psychiatry radio, are women, and particularly elderly women. And we're trying to get the word out that please protect yourself and please say no to electroshock. And so, look, at if you want this station to continue, friends, because some of you know, well, there is good news. I'll simply say that we have a stay of the order. That's all, because I am not going to get into the legalisms, because that is be handled by some people on our some of our board people on the board of the directors. But I must say that that I am somewhat relieved about the good news that CRTC has not yet revoked our license, but has issued a stay. So we're still alive, friends, and we are kicking and shouting and singing and bringing you real good alternative programming you won't hear on any other station. It's only CKLN. So we need your support. We need your continuing support. Ask you just to keep listening and to support us. You can sign our petition online, and I right now I'm drawing a blank about the exact exact URL or website, but if I'm not mistaken, it is ckln.fm/petition. Am I right, Susie? Yes. What's up? So here we are. And as did we get a read? No, we didn't get a read. Well, anyway, I hope to have a read on another another program. She is a very valued sister, and I must say that she would have a lot to say. I know she supports the CKLN, and I know she can speak for herself very, very well, so I'm not going to do that. So and Susie, our dynamite host and producer of Word of Mouth with Kristen Schwartz, has something to say to you.